listening to the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program on KDNK Community Radio. Hello, everyone. My name is Esmeralda Alverde Duarte, and I will be a senior next year at Roaring Fork High School. This year, I am an intern at ASIAP. Joining me is Zenobia Todd, who will be a sophomore at Glenwood Springs High School, and she is also an ASIAP intern. We are so happy to be interviewing Inzi Lupau and Angelina Taylor to have a conversation about their organization, Headquarters, for today's public affairs show. Angelina is the executive director of Headquarters, and Lindsay is the program director. We will be talking about the organization's mission to raise mental health awareness, provide access to mental health resources, and promote a stigma-free community. Thank you so much for joining me, Angelina and Taylor and Lindsay.
Thank you for having us.
Well, welcome to the show, and thank you again. Can you just start by introducing yourselves and telling us why you're passionate about working in the mental health field?
Sure. So I got involved in mental health. My brother became sick with schizophrenia when he was 18, and it was a really big shock for our family, and we didn't know a lot about resources, and we really had nowhere to turn. And so that whole exploration of finding kind of helping him on his mental health journey actually sparked my mental health journey myself. And in our house, mental health was very stigmatized, and we didn't talk about it, and we never focused on it. And so when I moved to the Valley and I met Christina King, who founded our organization, and she was doing this whole thing around mental hygiene, I was like, this is so cool. Like, I didn't grow up with any of these tools and didn't know any of this information. And had we known a lot of this stuff, could things have been different? So that's kind of how I got involved and why it interests me.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Lindsay Lupau, I grew up here. I went to Aspen High School, graduated 2001, not to age myself, not eligible to be a DJ on the show. But I really grew up in a house that's very similar that didn't support mental health. Mm-hmm. And it was always like, you know, be strong, you've got this. And a lot of the times I ended up pretty much just ignoring things and kind of stuffing them down and being like, I am strong, I got this, until I was in my 30s and went through some significant relationship changes. I was divorced, and I have a child, so being a single parent and then seeing your youth struggle, it became very clear to me that I wanted to take care of it. And so I started going to therapy very late in life, and believe in it so much, seeing what it's done for her, that that's really what drew me to it. Met our founder and was on the board to really fill my own cup of my passion. I was in finance for 20 years, and eventually my daughter went through some pretty hard stuff, and I just kept getting more and more passionate about mental health and being able to make a change for not only youth, but hopefully a systematic change mm-hmm. in America.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I think that's really cool. I think a lot of people out there have that just powering through mentality, and it's so awesome to see that you guys are trying to change that.
Yeah.
So, just keep telling me about the mission and goals of Headquarters.
You want to go?
Sure. So Headquarters we're a mental health organization that really focuses on mental fitness, and what that is having the tools and skills so that you have the resiliency to thrive. And that can be anything from kind of just going back to that idea of not knowing, and like when we were kids and like not knowing what those things were that we could turn to, and not knowing really simple things that we can all do for ourselves, like what puts you in a flow state? What drives you? What can you focus on that really helps you level set and get back to baseline, and having those things that you love and having those tools at your fingertips that you can kind of turn to when you're in a bad way? And then, you know, if things are getting worse, knowing what the resources are, knowing that you can turn to therapy, knowing where those therapists are, like all of that kind of stuff is really kind of what we help focus our programming around. And our programming is based on the four pillars of mental fitness, which are social, emotional, physical, and financial. So all of the programming and workshops that Lindsay builds out are really focused around those four pillars. And I guess I know in our rebranding effort, we were formerly Aspen Strong, and so now we're Headquarters. And when we went through that rebranding effort, it was really helpful for us to, prior to rebranding, we kind of said yes to everything, and we were like, we'll do this, we'll do that, yeah, we can do this. And when we rebranded into Headquarters, we were able to really focus our programming in and focus on this prevention, early intervention, and focusing on those four pillars of mental fitness.
Totally. That's, you know, I think mental fitness is really interesting, and I didn't really know much about it until I talked to you guys.
Yeah, me neither.
It's a really interesting thing that I want to look more into.
So it's kind of a newer term, actually.
It is a newer term, yeah.
Yeah.
So I know you kind of just brought up the rebranding, and it was, so your organization was previously known as Aspen Strong, since it was founded in 2014. And can you tell us kind of more about the rebranding effort? And, like, I know you kind of just talked about, like, the whole Headquarters thing, but can you just expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, Headquarters really came from that place of us sitting down as a board and being like, you know, where are we going? Mm-hmm. Where do we want to go? And talking again about those goals. And really, we wanted to be that first house that you come to on the street of Mental Health Avenue. So if you turn onto the block, the first house would be like the Headquarters, I guess, that you would come to. Whereas you went further down the block, you would then have more crisis. So, you know, suicide would be the last house on the block. And really, Headquarters was something that we could see being in multiple states and multiple counties and, you know, communities, but it was really opening us up to be able to expand services into, you know, some of the communities we currently serve, where maybe they see Aspen in the name and it might have been confusing to them, or they didn't recognize that we were serving their community as well because Aspen was in the name. Mm-hmm. So it was all about expanding services and being able to get into these communities and still be the first house for everyone that we serve.
That's so interesting.
Yeah,
I really like that.
I think it's awesome that you, like, kind of refocused on, like, a bigger lens, and Headquarters will become like a mental health hub. So that's awesome. So you obviously place a big focus on preventative mental health care. I would love to hear more about this, because we're typically trying to fix an issue rather than prevent it. So
So during that rebranding effort, we did a lot of research on preventative mental health and how, you know, if we think about sex education, we're talking about prevention. If we're talking about physical health, we're talking about how we can take care of our heart, how we can prevent it, how we can do exercise to prevent.
I don't know about you guys, but even in school, something that always happened with us was say no to drugs. And it was a huge prevention thing that went, you know, pretty viral. And so prevention has always been talked about for a long time.
Yeah, in so many other spheres. But as we know, mental health has been stigmatized for so long. Mm-hmm. And thank the pandemic for a few things. Mental health became rather destigmatized during the process of the pandemic. So this idea of prevention within mental health is becoming more widely accepted, and which is exciting, because why wouldn't we all be taking care of our brains? And it's part of our common humanity that we go through highs and lows through life. And so it's so funny that it was stigmatized for so long. But really, through a lot of research and a lot of different things that we've read, we've kind of uncovered that people, place, and purpose are really what people are looking for. And even people that tend to be on the higher level of acuity with their mental health, when they were interviewed, they said that people were what they really, they wanted to find people that had something in common with them that they could relate to. And so that's kind of what we're focusing a lot of our programming around, is like that connection piece, providing this place that people can come together to experience and learn together and have these people that they can turn to and a place, and knowing what those resources are. So,
and I think the only thing I would add is, you know, also knowing through, like, judicial reform and things that we've seen in the past, is if you focus on prevention, then hopefully you can take some of the pressure off of, like, crisis responders, emergency rooms. We now know with statistics that are coming out that suicide rates are higher that they're being seen in youth in hospitals. There's a lot of youth that are laying in hospital beds looking for mental health prevention and resources and programming. So a lot of that also is hopefully taking some of the pressure off of those downstream, you know, mental health organizations and providers.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So kind of going off of, like, the whole people, you know,
people, place, and purpose.
Yeah. Can you talk about more of the programs and, like, what you offer at headquarters?
So Angelina hit the nail on the head with, like, our four pillars. Yeah. So I really, always looking into this when we were doing our research, it was, you know, social, emotional, physical, financial. And so really using all of those pillars to show the programming, whether it's an activity-based program that we're running, like a workshop, or it's something that we offer, you know, through our website. So some of our online resources that are still programs are really the provider directory, and not necessarily per se a program, but we look at them like that, that somebody can use. And then we also have the mental health fund for more of like that emotional connection to a therapist. And then we have our free Your Mind series or sessions. And we try and do various therapeutic modalities to teach people something that either they can't afford to do because things here are really expensive, or maybe they just wouldn't have done it if it wasn't brought in the same aspect. So hopefully to give them tools that they can add to their toolbox in the future if something comes up. So we just did a fly casting. We have a ceramic jewelry making workshop coming up. We have like a breath work. We're going to be doing some sound healing and breath work up in Glenwood. But we do acro yoga and we do discussions talking about like your unconscious brain. So lots of different programs to educate people on prevention resources they can use for themselves.
And just like through those activities, people are also, it's being threaded in all this concept of taking care of your mental health and knowing what your resources are. So with those four pillars, like if we're out of balance, say physically, or we're out of balance mentally or financially, then we're off. So kind of figuring out, and we have a tool that we use to help people kind of figure out, where are you off balance, and where could things be more in balance? And so as they're kind of plugging into the programming, okay, this, I'm struggling financially, here's a program that I could take to learn some new tools to kind of balance myself out that way. Mm-hmm. And then Lindsay also touched on the Mental Health Fund, which is a fund that local providers can tap into to get up to 10 subsidized therapy sessions for their clients. So we work with a lot of uninsured and underinsured people, or people that just can't afford their therapy sessions, to really help them get back to baseline through therapy, mm-hmm. if needed.
That's really awesome. I love the diversity. Like when I was looking on your website and I saw the financial part of it and all the different, like, I thought that was so interesting because there's people struggle with, you know, they struggle in so many different ways mentally. And I think that's so important that you guys offer so much.
And these are the things that, like, we really feel like we need to be talking about, right? Yeah. This is all the stuff that we're like,
exactly.
Shh, let's not tell anybody that I'm struggling financially. And honestly, it just makes it worse.
Mm-hmm. No, totally. Yeah.
I really love how you interweave mental health into these various activities, because there's something for everyone, as like Zenobia was touching on. You can really cater to a lot of people's needs. So that's really awesome. Yeah. Would you like
and all of our workshops are 14 plus.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So youth can participate?
Yep.
Okay. Can you talk a little bit more about them, or do you think you covered?
Do you have anything else you want to say?
I'm trying to think. I really feel like the biggest thing is that none of us are exactly alike. And so you really have to try things to see what works for you. And it's not a one-size-fits-all approach. So being able to know, like, some people, talk therapy doesn't work. And you might want to be around people, or you might be an introvert and not want to be around anybody. So really tapping into all the different things, maybe journaling's your thing. And maybe if you go into a writing workshop, you can really express yourself in a way that you haven't done before. So I think really just really touching on that fact that we try and be there for everybody, connecting them into things for all various types of personalities and people. And what may give one person social, you know, anxiety may work for the other. So just remembering that we're all unique. We're all in this together. And yeah, so find something that works for you.
I love that.
Yeah, we talk a lot about we talk to people about having their 3 to 5 tools in their toolkit and knowing what those tools are for yourself. And it's like, actually, really, there's a lot of research around having an accountability partner or having somebody that you can, maybe you know what your 3 to 5 tools are, and then you can tell your boss or you can tell your mom or dad or you can tell your friend. And then when you're triggered or something's happening in your life, your friend can be like, why don't you go shoot some hoops? Or why don't you go for a hike? Or you seem like maybe you might need to stay home and journal tonight, or whatever that is for you. If you have people around you that are like, okay, these are her 3 to 5 tools, and then you identifying what those 3 to 5 tools are. I know it's been really helpful for me. Like, if I get triggered, you know, my husband will tell me, you need to go work out. Or, you know, you're cleaning the house obsessively. Time to go do something that fills your cup. So, it's just good for people around you to know, and it's good for you to know yourself, too. You can catch yourself, or others can help catch you at that moment.
I like that. I like that accountability partner.
Yeah,
really
totally.
Helps you focus in on.
And our friends are always the ones that are there for us most, right? And,
yeah.
Like, we share with them so much, but we never tell them, like, hey, if I happen to be sad, will you remind me to do what I really like?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just don't talk to them about that. So, yeah, making sure that you're really open about those things that work for you and that you can hold each other accountable and be there for each other.
Absolutely.
So, Zenobia, if I ever look sad, just tell me to go to the gym, okay?
Yep. And it works.
So, continuing on talking with mental health, there are obviously different challenges that come up. What do you think are the biggest mental health challenges that the Roaring Fork Valley specifically faces? And obviously, how does headquarters strive to address these?
Are you taking that one?
I'm like, we can both hit on it.
Yeah.
You can go first.
So we have a really transient community. So lots of people coming in and out. Lots of people moving here that maybe don't have the resources that they might have in a larger community. There is a live hard, party hard kind of lifestyle here. And so people that, you know, kind of experience that more, you know, in the Aspen lifestyle, or if you're living down valley and working up there, being exposed to a lot of wealth and a lot of glitz and glamour and party. And so a lot of that can be really stressful for people, and then come moving to a smaller community that doesn't have all the resources that they might have seen in a bigger community. That's a huge issue in our community. They call it like the paradise paradox. There's a name for it, like mountain towns experience this. So that is something that we definitely battle as a community.
And I think just touching on youth too, it really falls in the same wheelhouse. Is, you know, you have a very large financial difference between families in the same school.
Right.
And so you can have somebody who has a multi-million dollar household, and you can have somebody who, you know, has come here as an immigrant and is really working really hard with lots of family members in their house. And a lot of times that can be very challenging on, a youth, a young adult trying to figure it out and feeling like, what did I do to deserve this? Or why don't my parents buy me the coolest shoes? Or why, you know, so there's just so much of comparison, and a lot of, I think, bullying as well comes from different, you know, financial burdens or just different backgrounds as well. And we see it a lot more here just because there is such a large difference between top-level income earners and the ones here that are just living to be here and are ski bums and want to live that life. But now it's getting really expensive and it might be really hard.
Yeah, that's not talked about a lot. And I think that's so important to talk about because that's so true. And like you said, especially in this valley, like it goes like Aspen, you know, money, and it goes, it's so diverse, and I know people do struggle with that a lot, and it's not talked about a lot, and I think that is so important to, because people do struggle, you know?
Yeah, and comparison, and just being able to really have that thought for yourself and be able to not, you know, like, think you're ugly just because something happened, right? Like,
totally.
I have frizzy hair, so I'm ugly. But you have to be able to love yourself and find ways to be kind, give yourself grace, and find people that are like-minded that you can connect to.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the comparison is the root of all evil, right? And we all do it. So we talk a lot about like that negative thought loop that we can get in inside of our heads, and we're whatever the thing is that happened that day, and all the terrible things that we say to ourselves all day long. We say like, would you be friends with the person? Would you be friends with somebody who talked to you the way that you talk to yourself? And we all do it. And so, again, going back to those tools and tips of having that self-compassion and having that inner strength and finding those things that help you and to not compare as much and to not judge as much and to do you the best that you can do you is really important. So
it sounds like you guys are doing so many amazing things.
Yeah.
So what are your future goals and aspirations for this organization?
So we have a new space in Basalt on Two Rivers Road, which we're super excited about. We're building a mental fitness collaborative there. And so our goal is to have that as like a wellness working, like co-working space, where we'll also be holding a lot of our workshops and events in the space as well. And coming up in 2024, we are building out a mental fitness coach program.
First ever.
First
just so
ever
you know,
mental fitness
ever
coach
in the
program.
World.
That's awesome.
So we're really excited about that. It's kind of, you know, like the health and life coach world has become really popular, but it's also very expensive and hard for people to afford. And so we are taking some of our tools and our resources and then building that into a kind of what we were talking about with that accountability partner aspect, coaching aspect, to really build out a whole program that people can have a little bit more interaction with us one-on-one, and we can help guide them and be there to support them in kind of figuring out what their mental fitness goals are and reaching those.
And I would say, you know, personally, just working in programming, my goal is to really have organizations and people and, you know, just our communities know that we're in this together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really about collaboration and community. And we're here to build up each other. And I think a lot of times just in business in general, it's really hard to see another business and want to support them because you're trying to make it work for yourself in this valley. But we really do build other organizations and want to work with everybody, including all the schools, and really trying to get in with as many kids as possible. So we are doing a youth summit. It is this fall. I know you're going to Glenwood, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so Glenwood is going to be launching it with us, their pilot school. And we are taking on 12 youth to really teach them leadership and executive functioning skills,
nice.
But working with Aspen Film, and it's going to be really incredible. And of course, you guys.
Okay. And then lastly, before we wrap up, that's really awesome, by the way. That's really interesting. Are there any volunteer opportunities or other ways to contribute to headquarters?
Always.
Yeah, we're always looking for volunteers. You can email us at info@headq.org and sign up to be on our volunteer list. We have our mental fitness fair that's coming up that we will definitely need volunteers for in September 23rd or 24th, end of September. And we have our community open house to kind of showcase our new space on July 13th. So come on by. We would love to. It's open to everybody. It's from 5 or 5:30 to 7:30. 5, I think. 5 to 7:30. You can also RSVP at info@headq.org. You can follow us on social media at headq_org.
Yeah.
It's all new, so we're like
trying to get it all right.
Yeah, totally.
We always want people, and I think at just being a mental fitness advocate yourself is extremely important in your community, and understanding what it is and really supporting the work we do is the only way we're going to make any changes moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Exactly. So is there anything else you guys would like to add? Any last minute thoughts?
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, well, thank
certainly
you so
appreciate
much
it. It's amazing.
I think all of your the organization, I think everything is so fascinating and so cool, and I love it. Mental health is, I'm very passionate about it, so thank you again.
And now you know you can come to our workshop.
Yeah. No, I'm going to come.
Yeah.
You'll see me.
Awesome. Yay.
And all the listeners. You can all come.
Got to work on our brain.
So we have just spoken with Lindsay Lupow and Angelina Taylor about Headquarters' mission to raise mental health awareness, provide access to mental health resources, and promote a stigma-free community. Thank you again for coming today.
Thank you for having us. Yeah. You're very welcome.
We really appreciated talking to you about something that matters so much in our valley and to us a lot. You just heard Esmeralda and Zenobia with the Andy Zinka Youth Empowerment Program on KD&K. Have a great day.
Bye, guys.
HeadQ.org.